Can faith, which is not accompanied by works, actually save a person? That's what we're going to find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Currently, we're in a mini-series called Confusing Statements About Faith. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. We are going through confusing comments on saving faith or just faith. Basically, the Bible emphasizes faith so much. In fact, Bob, you're currently writing a book on the 100 verses that teach salvation by faith apart from works.
Right.
And so you're deep into this material. And I'm sure you've probably seen a lot of guys who take a very clear verse and just confuse it completely.
Exactly. And in this episode, when we talk about James 2, 14 to 17, while some people are well-intentioned, their comments on the text are quite confusing.
All right. Well, an example of that is James 2, 14 to 17. I recently wrote a blog on this, and you guys might want to check it out. I think it's something like Converse All-Stars in James 2, 17. But let me read it for you. James 2, 14 to 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, we obviously teach that eternal salvation is by faith apart from works, and if you teach that, people who refute you always turn to this passage.
They do. We have a show about this, plus we've written on it extensively.
I think we did a whole series on James. Zane Hodges has a great commentary on James.
Exactly. Or you can look on our website, faithalone.org, and search for James 2, 14 to 17. But let's just give a quick summary of our view. Our view is that what James is talking about here is not salvation from hell, not salvation from eternal condemnation, but being saved from God's judgment in this life. In fact, our argument is all five uses in James of the word sozo, or to save, all of them refer to salvation from temporal judgment.
Is it temporal judgment, or is it also just the trials of life?
Well, it seems to me it's both, but essentially it's because the person is walking away. For example, in 121, receive the implanted word with meekness, which is able to save your souls. So the point is, you have to apply God's word in order to save your lives from temporal judgment. You have 2:14, you have 4:12, God is able to save and destroy, and in that context, it's talking about take a life or extend a life. Mm-hmm. 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's talking about being healed. And 5:19-20, if you return a believer who's wandered from the truth and you turn him back, he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul or a life from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
All of these refer to salvation from judgment in this life or from calamities, distresses in this life. And so when he says, can faith without works save someone from God's discipline, the answer is no. The key is the words, what does it profit, or what good is it, or what use is it, which start verse 14 and end verse 16. If I don't apply what I believe, this isn't talking about saving faith, this is applying what I believe in Scripture,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to benefit, nor is the person I'm supposed to apply the Scripture going to benefit. And he gives the example of a brother or sister that's a fellow believer in your local assembly,
yeah,
who doesn't have enough clothes to wear, doesn't have enough food to eat, and one of you, one in your assembly, says to them, be filled and be warmed. So you say something that's positive, it's not a bad thing to say, but you don't give them what's necessary for the body, what does it profit? It doesn't profit them, nor does it profit you, because God's going to discipline you. Now, the issue here is not saving faith. The issue is God says it's more blessed to give than receive. And God tells us to care for the poor.
Right.
And if we're not doing that, even within our own church, well, then we're going to experience God's judgment. And when he says in verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, or as our Georgia listeners know, it's dead. Faith without works is dead means faith without works is unprofitable. What does it
right.
profit?
Right.
It's unproductive.
Right.
If you have a car and your battery is dead, Does that mean that you throw the car away? No, you replace the battery or you charge it.
Well, a lot of people will say what this means is faith that works is fake, or faith that works doesn't exist. But that doesn't make any sense, because if your battery is dead in your car, people don't say that's a fake battery.
Right.
Or they don't say your battery doesn't exist.
Right.
Oh, it does exist. It just doesn't have any power in it.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening here. Yeah, you have faith, but it has no power because you're not being a doer of the word.
Okay, let's look at some comments from some commentators. We have one from Kurt Richardson in a 1997 commentary on James.
I went to McGill with his daughter. I kind of knew his daughter.
You did.
Uh-huh.
You want to read some of this?
The problem of self-deception within the believer cannot have more catastrophic effects. Self-centeredness rather than Christ-centeredness is the dominant reality in such a faith. Can this be at all true faith? Faith that does not contain within itself a readiness to help, to show mercy, cannot be a faith in the mercy of God. So he's basically saying this is not a true faith. I guess that's the upshot here. Can this be at all a true faith?
Right, and his answer is no, even though James is talking about faith without works. He isn't talking about non-faith without works.
Right.
He's talking about faith without works.
Right.
And basically what this is all about is Bible application. James is saying, if you believe something is true in the Word of God and you don't apply it in your life,
mm-hmm.
that's what he's talking about here.
Right. James Adamson.
Used to be a very famous commentary, still widely used, 1976.
Okay. The meaning is clear. To paraphrase, what is the use of a man claiming to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ if it is without works? Can this kind of faith save him? Save, clearly not unreflective, has the full soteriological sense to be expected for the soteriological significance of works in faith. So basically, I think what he's saying is this is about eternal salvation.
Right. That's what he means by soteriological.
And he's saying the man is only claiming to have faith, but I guess doesn't really.
By the way, notice, what is the use of man claiming to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? 2:1. Well, let's read 2:1.
2:1 says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord of glory with partiality.
Now, wait a minute. Are they saying they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Who's saying they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
James is.
Inspired scripture.
Right.
And yet the commentator says, a man claiming to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, 2:1.
Do not hold the faith of our Lord. Is he talking about the act of believing, or is he talking about the content? You know, the Christian faith.
Right. He's talking about the body of truth, but it includes, obviously, the body of Orthodox faith includes justification by faith alone. You're right. He's not simply talking about faith in Christ for everlasting life, but he is talking about that plus everything else.
I mean, Adamson seems to be saying people are claiming, I believe, but in 2:1, isn't he talking about the body of truth? Not only is he not saying that someone is claiming to believe, he's talking about the body of truth, not the act of believing.
Well, right, but he is saying that these people have it.
Right, that's true.
And so Adamson here has confused the case. Now,
right.
We got another quote. Who's the third one from? Oh, yeah, Sophie Law is in 1980.
She says, in a question that can expect no answer but an emphatic no, and that's true.
That's true.
Because James is saying, can faith save him? And he's expecting the answer is no, but the question is, what kind of salvation is
right.
being talked about here. So he goes on to say, James asks of the man with faith but no works, his faith cannot save him, can it? He may say that he has faith, but that is itself an unreal claim, for the faith so isolated from works is a dead thing. She's saying to be dead means to be unreal. Is that what you understand by dead? Like, my mom died in 2012. I would never say my mom is unreal. She was real. She
right.
just happens to be with the Lord now.
Right. The word dead is often used in Scripture as a figure of speech. For example, Paul says in Romans 4 that Abraham's body was as good as dead. Well, his body wasn't dead, but he was a very old man.
And it wasn't a fake body.
It wasn't a fake body.
And it
body.
Wasn't an unreal body.
Sarah wasn't dead either, and her womb wasn't dead. But she was unable to have children unless God did a miracle and caused her womb to come to life. And that's what God did.
Basically, it was powerless.
Yeah, it was powerless.
It was to give forth a child.
Right. But God brought about life there. And in the case of this use of dead, he's saying faith that is not applied is unproductive. Right. And he repeats it three times in 217, 220, and 226. And you're right. Hodges makes a point in his commentary that if you saw a dead body, you wouldn't say there's never been life here.
Right.
You'd say the life force has left this body.
Right.
So how do we put the life force back into someone with faith who's not working? Well, we get to work. That's
right.
Obviously what James is saying.
Right.
He's saying put your faith into practice.
Right. Here's a final quote from Scott McKnight.
And he's a famous blogger and a seminary professor.
Right. The first assumes the answer that such faith is no saving good, and the second that such workless faith cannot save. Then James elaborates the answer he has assumed, the uselessness of faith without works, by offering a graphic comic example. I say comic because we hope and trust that no follower of Jesus would behave this way in an overt, conscious manner. The example is, you see a poor person, you say, God bless you, and then you walk on your way without actually helping.
Right.
Then James 2:17 draws his conclusion, the conclusion he assumed in the answer to his question in 2:14. So, I guess it kind of seems like Scott McKnight assumes that this is eternal salvation. That's
right.
What
and he's saying that it's a comic example when, of course, it's not a comic example.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. I can see walking by a homeless person because if you give them money, they may well use that money for drugs or alcohol.
Right.
But if you have a person in your church that has bald tires,
yeah,
are you going to help them? If you have a person in their church that has a child that's gone through cancer and major medical expenses,
sure,
are you going to get involved and help? It's no, not automatic that every believer jumps in there, right?
I mean, guess what? This can happen within a family. You can see a family member who's in need, and you'll be like, I'll pray for you.
Right.
And then you won't do anything to help that person. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
Even between husbands and wives,
yeah.
Honestly.
Well, there's
it can happen.
Let's not.
Oh, your back is sore? I'll pray for it.
Well, now you're meddling, Sean. Now you're meddling. Okay. We hope that you'll study the scriptures for yourself. Study the Word of God, because what James is saying is that if you believe what God has said and you don't apply it, then that's unproductive.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion, clearing up confusion about faith. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about why the demons aren't saved. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.